You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Friday again, because if you caught the mailbag, which we already did earlier today, normally it's on Thursday, did it on Friday. We're going two for Friday in black. Well, I'm just going to say Friday 18 million times. So I'm going to stop now and I'm bringing Jake Butt, former Michigan tight end, Mackey Award winner. He's played in the game against Ohio State. We talked about this a lot earlier this week in the X's and O's show. But we're going to continue to delve into what Ohio State presents. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire, host of the Locked On Wolverines podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, all that stuff. Anyway, Jake, we've been kind of back and forth. Of course, I get a phone call right then. We go back and forth on this game quite a bit. I still kind of feel like, as daunting as it might be for Michigan in a lot of ways, because particularly Ohio State's offense and the trouble that it presents, I don't know, man. Like, I still predicted an Ohio State win in my column today, but which you didn't in your pick in the Wolverines Wire former players predictions piece, you picked a Michigan win. What makes you think that that the guys get it done on Saturday?
Well, first off, Isaiah, it feels. This day is basically the night before Christmas. And with all the implications going into tomorrow with both teams rated as highly as they are and really playing for the chance to go to the Big Ten championship, this is freaking awesome. And this is what you really want as a fan, is to see your team go out there with a chance to do what they set out to do going all the way back to the beginning of the year. So, you know, it's going to take our best shot. Ohio State is a very talented football team, as they always are. Ryan Day is a really good coach, probably one of the better coaches in the country. And that's just been Ohio State's MO. They continue to reload with players every year. You know, Urban leaves, they reload with another great head coach in Ryan Day. They struggle defensively early in the season. They make a change, they reload. They're a well-oiled machine. So for us, it's going to take our best opportunity. Like you said, I think there's people out there that are concerned or maybe not giving us a shot. I think it's going to be a hell of a game. I think it's going to come down to the wire. As much as I'd love it to be a clean game, I don't necessarily expect that because of the talent that Ohio State has and the history of them being able to produce year in, year out. What gives me confidence is just the general aura of this team and the love they have for one another. When you go into a big game like this, it takes more than just talent or skill or, you know, it even takes a little bit of luck, absolutely. But there's going to be times in this game where they get tested, where, you know, the ball doesn't go their way or a call doesn't go their way, as all Michigan fans know. At that point, you have to have trust in one another. You have to believe in one another and you have to have love for one another. And that goes from the players to the coaches amongst themselves, the players amongst themselves. It's throughout the whole program. But that's what we've been talking about this entire year on our show, Isaiah, is it seems like these guys have unbelievable leadership, starting with Coach Harbaugh and some of the changes he's made and the changes he's made in his staff, and as well as our senior leadership and some of these veteran guys that have been around for a while. And Aiden Hutchinson, obviously, is essentially an NFL player that we have on our defense. The leadership that we have on this team is critical in a game like this when you know you're going to be tested multiple times throughout. So we're going to lean on our veteran players. When we need plays to be made, I expect Aiden Hutchinson to get in there and make it tough on C.J. Stroud. I expect David Ojabo to compliment him really well. I expect Cade to have a cool, calm demeanor. I think he played his best game against Michigan State earlier in the season, which was obviously our best opponent we faced up to this point. So we're going to need another performance like that from him. Consistently from our receiving core and our running backs, of course, Blake and Hassan have kind of, you know, carried the majority of the load throughout the season, but even Donovan Edwards stepped up last week versus Maryland. We'd have different receivers step up throughout the season, different tight ends step up. We're going to need everybody's best shot tomorrow, but why not us, man? That's the way I think about this is why not us? I don't know who's going to win tomorrow. I don't know who's going to win tomorrow, but I'll bet on my team. I'll bet on Coach Harbaugh, the home game. Hopefully, man, I'm visualizing this and speaking it into existence. Would love to see an awesome victory see, you know, Michigan ahead up on the big screen when the final whistle blows. And who knows, man, maybe the fans rush the field. I think it'd be a beautiful, beautiful sight.
Now, one of the things, there's a couple things in there that I have had my attention all week. Number one, and it's the question that I asked Jim Harbaugh straight out of the gates on Monday, was about how the fact that this is a home game, right? There hasn't been a home game of this magnitude against Ohio State since probably 2003. And I don't even remember exactly where those two teams were ranked. But I mean, there hasn't been all of the big games when these two teams are matched up in the top 10, let alone top five. It's been in Columbus, right? It hasn't been at home. So I think that can certainly provide a different scenario. The atmosphere could be a lot different for the sake of, you know, what happens if it gets really loud on a third down. It's like third and seven, somewhere around the 35-yard line, and suddenly they get a false start, you know, and that could certainly change the dynamics of this. Additionally, for as much as people always talk about how Ohio State wants it more, they've spent so much time every year trying to, like, they prepare for Michigan back in February and January, March, all of that. This year, Michigan's done that with Ohio State. And I would argue, even though you had last year them not playing, the whole Ryan Day, we were going to hang 100 on them, I would argue that Michigan wants and needs this game more. I don't necessarily think that's always the case, as much as some of those years, it's felt relatively even. You think back to 2018, Michigan could have, you know, cured all a little bit by winning in Columbus that year. It didn't happen. 2016, when you played, it felt like you guys were the team of destiny. It didn't end up going your way. But this year with Jim Harbaugh, if he loses this game, he's leaving potentially millions out on the table due to his contract incentives. He'd have to hit a lot of them. I know his Big Ten East one, it's supposed to be if he has sole, if he gets the incentive, if he solely wins the Big Ten East. I don't know what that means as far as if you beat Ohio State. I know that they would not be the sole Big Ten East holder if they do beat Ohio State, because Ohio State's already won a share of the division. But you leave out the idea of being the, you know, potential Big Ten champion, being a potential college football playoff berth, which also has an incentive. Big Ten Coach of the Year, that might go away, right, if you don't win this game. But if you win this game, it pretty much locks it in, you know. So there's a lot of money on his end. And when you have financial incentive, of course, that's going to be a big part. But on top of it, it's just all these guys have heard a million times over how they can't beat Ohio State. How they aren't as good as Ohio State. They turtle in the big game. And then you have things like Cade McNamara's comments earlier in the week, which Ohio State's trying to turn that into something, right? I mean, that's in the media and the fan base. I don't know what they're doing internally at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, but they're trying to turn it into something. I don't know if you saw the comments where he said that he is unconcerned about Ohio State's defense. What he meant, and I'm not just trying to like ascribe meaning to him, but if you read the whole quote in context, or if you listen to the Inside Michigan Football Program as I had before I wrote the article, of course, he was saying like, what we do on a weekly basis is try to figure out how we can exploit a defense. That's what we're going to do here. We're doing this as we do every week. They're trying to turn it into a slight. They're making it into a big deal. They're saying all these things. I think that could come back the other way, right? Because it's one of those things where it's like, if you're Cade and you're hearing that, you know, people are taking him out of context and trying to make it into a bulletin board thing, it can fire you up that much more, wouldn't you think?
I mean, Isaiah, I'll tell you the truth here from a player's perspective, and I get it that there's media that gets played into this, but if you need a comment, and this goes for Ohio State's locker room and this goes for our locker room, if you need a comment to get you more fired up to play, then that means you were unprepared. Nothing should need to be said to get absolutely 100% out of you this Saturday. And that goes for both teams. So if Cade says that, does that get Ohio State more fired up? No, I don't think so. I think they'd be fired up to the max anyways. If they say something, does that get us more fired up? No, it better not. It better not. We should be tapped out, draining the tank tomorrow, regardless of what's said. Regardless of the score on the scoreboard, regardless of how much time's left in the game, every single play should be played like it's your last. That is how big this game is, and that's what this rivalry means. So, listen, does this game mean more to Michigan? Do we need it more? Hell yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. It's been way too long. The tide needs to be turned. It is that important for our program, for Coach Harbaugh, for, you know, the future of recruiting and our seniors. We need to prove that we can win this big game, not just play good in this big game. And we have the guys to do it. We have the coaches to do it. We have the scheme to do it. It's there for the taking. But absolutely, we have more riding on this. Ohio State can always fall back on their body of work in recent years. We don't have that same rapport or respect on a national level. Ohio State is one of those teams that will be consistent, almost like Alabama, that will consistently be a top five team in the preseason just out of respect for who they are as a program and for, you know, a coach like Ryan Day. They've proven it and they've earned it. This is our chance to take a step in the right direction towards getting the Block M back at that level of respect on a national level.
All right, we're going to continue by moving into kind of some of the matchup stuff, getting actually into what you feel like we need to see tomorrow. We'll get into all of that here in a moment. But before we do, I do have to tell you a little something about NetSuite, because this is it. This is the putt to win the tournament. You sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses increased their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. So over 27,000 businesses already use NetSuite, and right now through the end of the year, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program to those ready to upgrade to NetSuite at netsuite.com/lockedon. So head to netsuite.com/lockedon for special end-of-the-year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses. That's netsuite.com/lockedon. All right, Jake. So when we talk about the matchups, I think Michigan is somewhat uniquely qualified from a defensive standpoint to be able to handle Ohio State's offense to some degree. I mean, you look at the fact that it's the best passing defense they have faced so far. It's the second rated defense they've faced. Minnesota was the number one as far overall when you look at the body of work that we've seen so far, number four in the country to Michigan being number nine or number 10, depending on what site you look at. Some of them have Michigan just like a couple points ahead of Alabama. Obviously the big scary thing in this game is CJ Stroud and those three wide receivers. We've talked about Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo's impact, but what else are you looking for when it comes to the Michigan defense, when it comes to going up against the Ohio State offense?
Yeah, well, let's just start with what Ohio State's offense does, and this is what they've done for a while. They have explosive athletes everywhere, so that's the foundation to this recipe, is they have guys that can turn a 2-3 yard pass into a touchdown at every position and probably standing on their sideline. CJ Stroud is obviously a quarterback that can make any throw that's asked of him, and he's a playmaker as well. He can create when something isn't necessarily there. But what Ohio State does really well is they mix in and they try to, I guess, divide and conquer your defense. Is they run a lot of jet sweep motions. They'll do the quick jet sweep handoff. Sometimes they'll do a play fake and hand it to the running back going back the other way. Sometimes it'll be a play action and they'll try to get behind you. And the reason that these things work is because when they do run the jet sweep, everyone knows that whoever's getting the ball can gash you. Whatever receiver it is that they have, if they get that ball, they can turn that jet sweep from a 5-yard gain into a touchdown. We've seen that time and time again. So what it's going to start with, and what Michigan has, you know, our only, you know, I guess, shortcoming this year has been distracted eyes, undisciplined eyes, where we need all 11 guys playing the exact assignment. So You know, if they do play action on that jet sweep, what they try to do is run vertical routes behind you and threaten you vertically. They try to get their receivers back behind the back end of our defense, and then C.J. Stroud can air it out and get easy points like that, 40, 50-yard touchdowns, one completion, and the drive's over. That's way too easy. We cannot allow that to happen. So if you're a little bit late in the back end getting to the jet sweep, that's okay as long as we have everybody flowing to the ball and we make the tackle when it's there. Because when the play action does come, if you take away those routes, that's when C.J. Stroud is going to have to get to his second and third read, which means more time ticking off the play, more time ticking in the pocket, which means Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo can get in there and potentially get a sack, strip the ball out, or at least get a quarterback hit. The one thing that they've struggled with is you got a young quarterback in C.J. Stroud. If you can rough him up and test him, if you can make him uncomfortable in the pocket, he's young. You know, at some point, the success that Ohio State's had, could it become a negative where it's like, hey, man, don't be the first guy to lose to Michigan, you know, instead of we're always the guy to beat Michigan. Does the thought creep in like, man, am I going to be the first guy to lose to Michigan? And you know how you plant that thought in his head? By getting quarterback hits early and often, by batting down passes, by disguising coverage. Again, he's a young guy. And I think this is where we have Coach McDonald. It's done such a great job of, you know, in years past, we would line up and everyone knew what defense we were running. This year, we do a lot better job of disguising coverage. Sometimes we look like we're sitting in zone and we bring a blitz and play man. Sometimes we look like we're playing man and we drop into zone. That's tough on a quarterback. And when for the picture to change from pre-snap to post-snap, you have to be able to think on a fly and then change your reads and then execute on top of that. So uniquely fit to play Ohio State? Absolutely. But is this offense extremely talented and extremely explosive? Yes. So I'd say, yes, we are going to be Ohio State's biggest test defensively, but that's not enough. You have to go out there and execute on it and prove your worth. So it'll be our biggest challenge too.
Two things to note. Number one, we'll stay with the defensive side against Ohio State, keeping in mind that this is the biggest road game that C.J. Stroud will have played in, because he was okay, kind of struggled a little bit against Minnesota. Minnesota was in that game until relatively late. That was in Minneapolis. They struggled against Nebraska. Nebraska was playing in Lincoln. Their game against Penn State, in which they struggled, was a home game. They beat Michigan State at home on Senior Day. This is a different animal, right? He is coming to the big house. So depending on the fans, because certainly we've seen, you know, we've both have seen Michigan Stadium both rocking, and we've seen Michigan Stadium kind of just whatever. I would imagine it's going to be more of the former than the latter, depending on the amount of Michigan fans compared to Ohio State fans that manage somehow get tickets. Cause you know, they are an arrogant bunch. I can tell you from my mentions, I can tell you if you saw any of the comments on the X's and O's from Ohio State fans, which if you did, you caught it within a couple minutes, cause I delete all of them, you know, but they come in droves, right? They are very, very confident. There is an element to me that thinks, this is, again, their fan base, but at some point, even with their team, pride can come before the fall to some degree. Switching to the other side, there is an interesting thing, stat out there. Michigan actually has more 50-plus yard plays than Ohio State does this year. A lot of people probably wouldn't think that. I believe Michigan has 8 to Ohio State 7, or it's 7 to 6 or whatever, but Michigan has one more. From an offensive standpoint, and they would have reached that, of course, last week with I'm sure Ohio State had plenty of 50-yard plays last week. I don't know. I didn't actually watch the game. I just looked at it on Gamecast. But with Donovan Edwards and some of his big plays, Michigan went ahead of Ohio State in the big play category. So what do you think that, or not necessarily think that, but what do you expect to see from the Michigan offense against what has been a very good run defense for the last 8 weeks or so, or not 7 weeks from Ohio State? Well, I guess a little bit longer than that, 8-9 weeks, but not as good of a pass defense per se. What do you expect to see? Similar game plan as to what we saw against Michigan State, something completely different. What is your feeling on this?
Well, understanding Coach Harbaugh and Coach Gattis is it's not necessarily about the defense. They believe it's about us. So you can expect to be a run. It's going to be a heavy run day or a run committed day. And rightfully so. Again, you have to understand the bigger picture, not just this individual piece. When you're facing such an explosive offense, you better not go three and out consistently, and you better not go three and out and take no time off the clock. You're going to have to establish the run. And yes, they've been a successful run defense, but the defensive scheme that they play is not exactly the best scheme to stop the run. They run a 4-2-5, meaning they have six big guys, four defensive linemen, two linebackers, and five defensive backs. Typically, this is a nickel or a nickel defense, and that's more of a pass committed defense. So for us, I think we're probably going to be the best offensive line and rushing attack Ohio State's faced. I mean, Michigan State is obviously very talented, but what they did last week was exactly what we said not to do. They dropped a number of passes. They turned the ball over. They went three and out. We have to avoid that ourselves. So with our offensive line and our tight ends and our running backs, is creating movement at the point of attack. Our double teams are two guys versus one guy. We need to move the defensive lineman off his spot, climb to the linebackers at the second level, put hat on hat, color on color, and we know our running backs will do the rest. They're going to run through arm tackles. They're going to fall forward. And the more 4 to 6 to 7 yard chunk plays we can get, I think the better off we'll be down the stretch. So, yes, Ohio State may be better as a run defense than a pass defense. I still think we should commit to the run tomorrow. And if we can establish the run, that's not only going to help us collectively, but it's going to also help us pass the ball too. At some point when you establish the run, those defensive backs in the back end, what they do to stop the run is they're aggressively downhill. When they read run, they flow down quick and they fill the holes. If you can establish the run and mix in some heavy play action and some very good disguised play action, that's when you open up things on the back end. You know, Cade has really been successful, really hitting the ball over the middle, whether it's, you know, crossing patterns, dig routes, or sits over the ball to the tight end, little pop routes to the tight end. That seems to be where Cade's most comfortable. So the way you open that is by establishing the run and getting the linebackers to suck up and then finding the soft spots behind them. So, again, it's going to take our best effort. It seems each week on offense we've had a different guy step up. Now we need to put it all together. Now we need to have everybody play their best game tomorrow. And if we can all do that, if Cade can play his best game, even better than he did against Michigan State, I'd say we got a pretty damn good chance. And man, it'll be fun to watch, man. I don't know how much I'm going to sleep tonight because this is a hell of a matchup, man. This is why you love college football.
Well, and I think the interesting thing, like you mentioned, there being all of these different guys that have stepped up, I think that also presents a challenge for Ohio State defensively, because there isn't one of those guys at this point that isn't a threat, right? Like they've all presented some kind of threat, whether it's Cornelius Johnson, Roman Wilson, Andrell Anthony, Mike Sanders still, Donovan Edwards, Hassan Haskins, Blake Corum, Eric All, Luke Schoonmaker. They all have presented a threat so far. They've all had big games. They've all been essentially the focal point any given week in one way or another. So it's hard for them to be able to pin one guy, whereas with Michigan, you know the four guys that Ohio State's going to go after, right? There's going to be those three receivers, and certainly there's a couple others coming off the bench, Julian Fleming and Marvin Harrison Jr., and then Travion Henderson. Obviously, I also have to watch out for Mayan Williams when he's out there, or Master Teague. But I would even imagine Jeremy Ruckert, he could play a part, but I feel like they're going to have to keep him in a mass protect as much as possible because of what Michigan poses in the defensive front. So yeah, I think it could be a lot for them as far as preparation is concerned. Also, interesting thing to note is that Ohio State does tend to play more man defense. They have mixed in some zone, but it is primarily a man defense. So depending on what Michigan sees out there, there are certainly exploits, and we saw them particularly take advantage of that, for instance, in the Eric All play against Penn State. I'm curious to see if Michigan doesn't take a page out of the Ohio State playbook when they can tell for sure they are in man, and try to gash them with the crossing routes, because they've certainly got the horses to do it. All right, we are going to move on, and we'll get the predictions in a moment. I'm going to kind of do a little bit of a throwback, kind of like we did against Michigan State going into that game, but we'll get to that momentarily. But before we do, listen, it is Thanksgiving. I know it's the day after, but still, we all know what that means. Football. I've got football on right now. Iowa, Nebraska. Nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting. Bet online as you cover for all the holiday season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet online remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving. So head to our new updated desktop or mobile website. Sign up today. Put in the promo code LOCKEDON. Receive a 50% welcome bonus. It's not just football. Bet online has pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, your favorite Vegas casino game. So don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, we're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. Also got to tell you a little something about Built Bar. Y'all know how much I love Built Bar. Jacob got a couple that I'm holding on to give to you. So I'm excited to get you those. A couple of my favorites, coconut brownie chunk and peanut butter brownie. I just ordered another box of Built Bar this morning because of their Black Friday deal, 20% off any box. I mean, kind of couldn't beat it, right? Like I woke up to an email and I'm like, I'm doing it. If you don't know what Built Bar is out there, it's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It is incredible. It's high protein, low calorie, low carb. It's everything that you want in a protein bar. I can have two at a time, make it my meal replacement bar. They are delicious. You'll want to do that when you have one as it is. So go to built.com, put in the promo code LOCK15 when it's not Black Friday, because obviously Black Friday can get 20% off, but 15% off on a normal basis. Built.com, promo code LOCK15. All right, Jake. So let's, before we get to the score predictions, just, before Michigan State, we talked about the awful in that game. I have to do it again. But this is another one. We were both there. We were both very much right there where the action was, because you were playing in the game. I was on the sidelines. And thinking back to the 2016 Ohio State game, I mean, you cannot convince me. I know you won't, but people who want to try to convince me Ohio State was the better team that year, it wasn't, right? Like, there were so many things that happened, particularly from an officiating standpoint. I know you guys had your chances. You always say, don't leave it in the hands of the officials. It kind of got left in the hands of the officials to some degree, but there were two things that bothered me about that game. So I'm curious about if you can look back and react on that, or to your reaction from back in 2016. The one that everyone talks about is obviously JT was short. And I mean, I remember looking over on the field, looking at the bench, everyone on the sidelines was celebrating because they thought that he was stopped for the line to gain. And then suddenly they say it's a first down. The stadium was silent. And then, review comes back and says, oh, he made the line to gain, or the call on the field stands. But the one to me that's more egregious, you were on the sidelines at this point, was it was a third down and long, very long. And JT Barrett drops back and he throws down the middle of the field, relatively long pass into the middle of the field, way over the head of his receiver. But Delano Hill is called for pass interference, even though that ball was certainly, in my eyes, not catchable. And that extended their drive. They scored in order to tie the game with a field goal to bring it to overtime. What do you remember about that game in that light? And how did it feel being on the team during that game?
That play is the one that stands out to me. I mean, JT was short play is obviously super subjective. If you ask 100 people in the room, 50 might say one thing and 50 might say the other. But that play, not only was it way over his head, it was a questionable call even if it was on target. It was a bang-bang play. Like that. But at the time that Delano went up to bat the ball down, the ball was passing right over their head. It was a bang-bang play regardless. Really don't think you can make that call in that situation. But, I mean, it just comes with being a Michigan fan, I guess, is you have to understand it as a player is no one's coming to save you, especially in these big games. The officials aren't going to be in our side. The best we can hope for is a balance in an evenly called game. That's all we can hope for. But a couple of things I remember, man, is I remember early in the game, our defense was shutting them down. They could not move the ball. It was three and out after three and out. And I'm like, and I knew those guys were studs. Our defense was studs. We were just littered with NFL players. You start to think as an offense, like, if we were moving the ball pretty well as well, we're like, man, we are much better than these guys. Like, we're going to win this game, you know? And normally I don't ever think like that in the middle of the game, but obviously with that being Ohio State, myself being from Columbus, your mind goes there. It's like, hey, we're going to win this game. And then there's just football is such a game of moments where singular moments matter because there's momentum shifts. And there's a couple plays where, you know, we made mistakes. You know, coming out of the second half, we had a chance to go up by three scores. And we're down on the goal line on the 6-inch line. And we have a fullback dive called to Khalid Hill, which had like a 90% success rate on the season. If you just handed it to Khalid, he was going to get you a yard. And we fumbled the snap, and they recovered the ball. And that not only took 7 points away from us, but it gave them a chance to move the ball out and essentially reset on defense. That's 7 points left on the board. It's absolutely critical. There was another time in the back of our end zone where we were running a deep crossing route, play action with JU and Darbo, and their linebacker sunk underneath it. Or I can't remember if it was a linebacker or safety, but we threw an interception. They were able to return it for a touchdown. So right there is 14 points that are swung against us. So beating yourself is the story of the day. You know, we just had untimely turnovers. We had untimely, of course, yes, there was some officiating where there was untimely calls that didn't go in our favor. But we fought all the way to the end. Still plenty of chances to win, and ultimately we didn't do it. And I think that's kind of the story of who Ohio State is in this rivalry and who we have been, is they found ways to win. And for us, unfortunately, we have not found ways to win. Sometimes we found ways to lose. It pains me to say it, but it's frankly the truth, Isaiah, is they don't panic. They don't blink. They don't worry, or they don't even really change who they are. They just trust, and they keep coming back and back and back, and they find ways to connect and win when it matters most. Whereas for us, it sometimes, even as a fan, I'm starting to see this year, is even when you're winning, sometimes you're just not quite comfortable yet. You're just like, man, can we throw that haymaker and connect and really just put them away and take their will? But for some reason, even when we're winning, you know, Michigan State game, we're up by 16 points, only two scores. Let's get another, even a field goal at that point makes it a three-score game, and we were unable to do that. We give them life. So again, we talked about it to start the show, is this game is so massive in the sense that this is our opportunity. Who cares about the past? It doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter about next year. All that matters is right now. This is your chance to flip that narrative. This is your chance to say, we can win the big games. We are going to do something special when the lights are on and the moment calls for it the most. So talented team, Ohio State, they're not going to give it to us. And we are going to have to make some huge plays in this game. And we are going to have to respond when Ohio State makes huge plays and they test us. So it's one of those games where you dream of playing like this as a player. But when your number's called and the ball comes your way, or the ball carrier is running at you and you're in the open field with them, you better not blink. You better make the play. And you better count on your brothers, the 10 other guys you're sharing the field with, to do the same. And maybe not 100%, man, but we're going to need to be 95% accurate, make 95% of these plays. We're going to need to win the 50-50 balls. We're going to need to win the 50-50 calls. We're going to need to create when things aren't necessarily there. We're going to need a couple guys to step up big in big moments. That's how you win these kind of games. So thankfully, I feel we have a veteran team similar to 2016. We have, you know, some of our best players are our oldest players. So that gives you confidence going into this. You know it means something to them. You know Aiden Hutchinson is going to be playing like a man possessed tomorrow. You know this game means something to him. This is why he came back. So I'm looking forward to watching it. And I'm looking forward to seeing these guys do exactly that, which is step up and make plays.
And you never know, right? Because you look at rivalry games. I mean, granted, I picked Nebraska to beat Iowa. You know, the game's certainly not over. It's second quarter at this moment. Right now, Nebraska's up 14-3. You know, Iowa's the ranked team. I'm pretty sure they had the betting line going for them, but the home team's getting it done. So we'll granted, Iowa is not the same as Ohio State, but nonetheless. All right, Jake, final thing, prediction. How do you see this game going? What's your final score prediction?
Man, just good luck to these guys, man. Good luck. If you're a fan in the stands, cheer your absolute asses off tomorrow. Do not sit down. We're all part of this. We play a small part in this game, but anything we can do to make it tougher on their offense or motivate our team, let's do it, man. That's called home field advantage. So if you're going to the game tomorrow, let's cheer them on. If you're on Twitter, send some good encouraging messages or whatever it is. Back these guys. Let's make this a community effort and stand with each other. It's going to be a battle. Like we said, I don't think either defense is going to have full success in stopping the offenses. I think in this kind of game, you're going to have certain plays schemed up and dialed up as offensive coordinators that are going to allow you to put up more points. Michigan has to score 7, not 3. You can maybe afford 1 field goal in this game, but you're not going to beat a team as explosive as Ohio State kicking field goals. But ultimately, maybe it's a little home field bias, Isaiah. Maybe I'm blind, but I love these guys, man. I love Coach Harbaugh. I love Aiden and Josh Ross and Cade McNamara and some of these seniors and how they carry themselves throughout the season and the love they have for one another. I think that counts for something. I think that matters. They have my full faith and my full confidence. I'm going to stick with the prediction earlier this week. I'm going to say 42-31, Michigan. Can't wait to see it.
If they win by 11 points, I'll tell you, this place will be pandemonium. I'll have to put bars over my we'll have to put bars on both. We both live in Ann Arbor. We have to put bars over our window. The riots will be out of control because people will be going nuts. Yeah. It would be crazy, just as crazy as if the Lions actually did something positive at any given point in time. Now I have a gut feeling, like I've been saying, I just said this on the last podcast. I have a gut feeling, which is the opposite of how I felt in 2018. 2016, I don't know that I had a great feeling either way. I knew it was going to be a tough game. I did think Michigan was the better team. I still feel vindicated in that. But in 2018, with everyone saying, all right, it's going to clearly be Michigan, you know, like basically the only people that picked Ohio State were like the homeristiest homers. I definitely didn't say that right, but there were people that wear, you know, Ohio State gear to Ohio State games. So I guess some of their media, but nonetheless, I definitely did not feel like after spending the entire year saying Ohio State is susceptible. I went into Columbus only being able to picture Ohio State winning that game. And that's what happened. I have a different feeling this year in that I can't, it's weird because it messes with my logic entirely, because my logic tells me there is no way that Ohio State should lose this game. It is just far too talented across the board, but I can't shake the feeling just how much it means to Michigan, how much more it has to mean to Michigan this year. And I know that's going to upset people in Columbus, but at some point it's going to mean more to Michigan. And this is the one year where it really, to me, does for so many different reasons. So I do feel like Michigan's going to give it a shot, but I have said for a very long time now, I can't pick Michigan to win until I see it. So therefore I have Ohio State 37, Michigan 33. So I hope I'm wrong because it would make for everything. But again, my mind's eye doesn't see it going any other way. I hope that my intuition is right, and we'll see, right? They play games for a reason. Otherwise, Ohio State would have just won this game again. Anyway, for Jake Butt, the Mackey Award-winning tight end, I am Isaiah Hole. We will talk to you next week in one way, shape, or form, whether it's here on the Lockdown Wolverines podcast as part of a Big Ten championship preview. Regardless, Sunday, there will be the X's and O's. We are going to do it on Sunday, I believe is the plan. Plans always change, but that's the plan. And we will break down the game then. So thanks for listening and or watching. Wow. Apparently I need sleep. Peace.